WBBM FM, Chicago.
The FBI in peace and war. The FBI in peace and war is brought to you by refreshing, delicious Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum. Enjoy chewing Wrigley Spearmint Gum every day, as millions do. The lively, long-lasting flavor cools your mouth and freshens your taste. The pleasant chewing adds enjoyment to whatever you're doing. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, Grave Error.
And why not? There isn't a lock made that won't respond to the proper persuasion. Enter, my friend. Once again, Doc Percy has conquered the impossible.
Nice work, Doc. Come on.
I'm with you.
Let's see now. The light switch should be right over here to our left.
Oh, lights yet. Man, this is absolutely my first situation with lights. You're sure the family's not home?
Doc, you move in the wrong circles. The best people never return from vacation till after Labor Day. Ah, just where the blueprint said.
Oh, such elegance. Ham, tell me, why bother with all the intricacies of a racket when all we have to do is lift some of the elegance and call it an evening?
Lift? Doc, what do you take me for, a common thief? Ah, there's the door to the library. The cabinet will be in there.
All right, but my professional reputation is at stake. Who ever thought the day would come when Doc Percy would leave something in a house rather than take it?
Oh, that's another thing. It's not Doc Percy. From now on, it's Dr. Persepolis.
It's what?
Persepolis. Dr. Dimitri Persepolis. Professor of Greek history in the gymnasium at Göttingen.
Greek? Mm-hmm. Ham, are you out of your mind? Who has such an accent? Hungarian, yes. English, yes. French, all right. But Greek? How would I talk like a Greek?
Luck, Doc. Not even a safe luck. This is what we want. Right here, the statuette. Straight from the grave of Amenhotep II. You're looking at 3,000 years of history, Doc. Impressed?
History doesn't impress me. Only cash. Ham, I still say...
Forget it. Everything stays just where it is. Let me have the clay tablet, huh?
Right here.
There's an ancient curse goes with relics stolen from the pyramid tombs of the kings, Doc. Play it your way and we could end up 60 feet under ourselves. Play it mine and we pyramid this deal into a fortune.
Abner B. Hamill, alias A.B. Hamilton, alias Abdul Bey Hamid, was one of the most talented swindlers who ever worked the so-called pyramid game. He and his confederate, Harold Doc Percy, were well above the average swindlers in intelligence and undoubtedly would have been successful in legitimate occupations if they hadn't decided on less legal ways of making a living. Hamill was a big, attractive man with a winning manner and a dark complexion that made him easily accepted in his role of Egyptian scholar.
Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Abdul Bey Hamid, the Cairo Society of Antiquities. Please tell Mr. Pomeroy, the curator of the Cosmopolitan Museum, suggested that I call.
Well, there you are, Mr. Hammond, my entire collection. Say, I guess I shouldn't be calling you Mr., should I? It's Buana or Sahib or something like that, huh?
Sherman, don't be ridiculous.
That's quite all right, Mrs. Pomeroy. The question is often asked. A Mr. is most acceptable, I assure you.
Well, that's good. I'm not much for any kind of lingo, but straight down-the-line American.
How do you like it, Mr. Hamid?
The collection's superb. Really magnificent.
Yeah, well, it should be. Cost me a pretty penny, I can tell you that. I told my wife I couldn't see spending hard-earned dollars for a couple of old statues and vases, but darn, she didn't talk me into it.
Oh, don't you believe it, Mr. Hamid. My husband's become a real antiquities bug ever since he saw that archaeology movie with Gregory Peck. Why, most of our Ramesses and King Minos pieces were selected by him.
They were until I found out the price, and it wasn't Gregory Peck, it was Clark Gable.
Now, Sherman...
Mr. Pomeroy, if I may be permitted to say,
Whatever the price, it was not too high. These are really fine relics. Oh, that jade amulet. Those cuneiform tablets. The inlaid casket. But that's not Rameses or Minos. Tutankhamun, is it not?
Why, yes, it is.
Ah, you're most fortunate. A near priceless antiquity. But the Amenhotep, that lazuli statuette, that is the real treasure.
The statuette, you're interested in that?
A good deal more than interested, Mrs. Pomeroy. Frankly, the statuette was my main purpose in coming to your country.
Sherman, what did I tell you? My husband was opposed to my buying the statuette, Mr. Hamid, but I just knew it had value.
Value? My dear Mrs. Pomeroy, on behalf of the Cairo Society of Antiquities, I'm authorized to offer you a certified check for it in the amount of $100,000.
Mr. Hamid, you have just bought yourself a Lazuzi statuette.
Now, just a minute,
Grace,
Sherman.
Now, for the love of Pete, don't tell me we're not selling.
Well, one moment, Mr. Pomeroy. Your wife is right. You are entitled to an explanation.
Certified check is explanation enough for me.
Sherman, really? Mr. Hamid, I must apologize.
No, not at all. On the other side of the fence, I feel quite the same way. The millions to be gained mean little to me, of course, but the historical value...
Well, millions?
About 200 millions, Mr. Pomeroy, to estimate conservatively.
Conservatively?
From our statuette.
Well, not quite, Mrs. Pomeroy. 200 millions from the tomb of Queen Astemhib, whose grave has never been located, and which is supposed to contain the richest treasure ever known to mankind.
You don't say.
But how does that connect with the statuette, Mr. Hamid?
In this way, Mrs. Pomeroy. The connection goes back some 3,000 years, when grave robbers located the tomb of Amenhotep II. Among the relics they stole and subsequently sold were three lazuli statuettes. They didn't know it, but in the base panel of one of those three was a clay tablet of hieroglyphics showing the exact site of the queen's grave.
You mean to say my statuette?
I mean to say, sir, the other two are in the hands of the Cairo Society and neither contained the clay tablet. I mean to say, sir, unless 12 years of research proves incredibly wrong, the greatest secret of our age is in this house, in this room, in this very statuette that I'm holding.
Oh, no.
May I open the panel now, Mr. Pomeroy?
Well,
naturally, it is understood we're partners now. By law, half of any discovery becomes the property of the Egyptian government. But the other half will become the property of the Cairo Society and yourselves, evenly divided.
Well, open the panel by all means, Mr. Hammond. Go right ahead.
Thank you. 3,000 years of history. A staggering moment, is it not? Well, as you Americans say, we might as well get it over with.
Back to Grave Era in just a moment. Friends, Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum is a refreshing, delicious treat you can enjoy even while you're working, driving your car, or busy doing other things. Just slip a stick into your mouth and chew it as long as you like. The pleasant chewing will make the time pass more pleasantly for you, and you'll enjoy that cooling, refreshing flavor. It'll help to keep your mouth and throat moist, a real help on warm summer days. Keep a package or two of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum handy all the time. Chew and enjoy it often, as millions do. That's Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. Act two of tonight's story on the FBI in Peace and War, Grave Era.
The principal lead we had on Abner Hamill was a clay tablet of improvised hieroglyphics from one of his recent victims. This tablet was given to our laboratory for classification as to type of stone and cut. Laboratory reported that the work was the kind done by cemetery stone builders. We decided to visit the various display yards in the local area and order a tablet made which would provide a comparison with the kind used by Hamill.
Tablets, certainly. Bronze and marble, very fine. I can quote you a nice price.
What about clay?
Well, clay I wouldn't recommend. It wouldn't stand up. I'm only being honest.
Well, that's all right. The man it's for always dealt in clay.
With sentimental values, who am I to argue? Clay tablet with what on it?
We'd like special lettering done. Here's the wording here. Now, can you duplicate this lettering?
Listen, even if it was Greek, I could duplicate it.
It is Greek, Mr. Hiller.
Huh?
How long will it take you to complete the job?
Well, in English, a week, but in Greek, how's 10 days?
We'll be back then, Mr. Hiller. Let's go, Dave.
The tablet will be ready, gentlemen, and if I say so myself, your friend will be pleased with my work. Haven't had one complaint yet, so help me.
And while we were going through our list of memorial display yards, Abner Hamill's scheme was gaining momentum through the deciphering services of his confederate, Doc Percy.
And this is Mrs. Pomeroy, Doctor, the lady I spoke about. Mrs. Pomeroy, Dr. Dimitri Persepolis.
How do you do, Doctor?
Not too well, I am afraid, Mrs. Pomeroy.
Oh.
Yes, my heartburn has been troubling me lately, and I have a skin ailment that refuses to go away.
Oh, that's too bad.
I trust your health did not interfere with your work on the tablet, Doctor?
Naturally, it did not interfere. I am Dimitri Persepolis. But in all my years, I have never seen such evasive symbols. All night long it took to decipher. Oh, they will come to bury me before the week is out.
Doctor, couldn't you let us know now what you found?
What else am I doing? I have my findings right here, all written down for you. No, that's my lumbago prescription. That reminds me, I'm just out of capsules. Here we are. I knew it was somewhere. Now, let's see, where did I put my glasses?
You have them on, Doctor.
Hmm? Oh, yes. So I have. Now, you understand, this will be literal. Every word I put down exactly as it was carved into the clay centuries ago. You know, I'm as blind as a bat without these glasses.
Dr. Persepolis.
Read and stop talking, I know. All right, then. Amenhotep, great king, king of kings. All ancient cuneiform begins in this manner. Very interesting.
Very. Go on, please.
Yes. King of kings, O God Osiris, he. Atop the pyramid of Tuthotep, great king, king of kings, there stands a temple. Go up into that temple, divine one, and in the floor will be seen two tiles. Lift them. Beneath there will be a chamber cut in the rock, and at the end a loose wall. Move it aside. Within is a deep well. Go down into that well, and there will the divine one behold the treasure-laden grave.
And when he got through with the reading, I was sure I'd faint. Mr. Hamid was already on the phone trying to reach Cairo, and Dr. Persepolis said the discovery was more important than the Cheops solar boats. Sherman, will you stop eating and listen to me?
Oh, I'm listening now. What's eating got to do with listening? Now, more important than Cheops. Go on.
I won't say another word till you stop chewing.
All right, I stopped.
Well, you've heard just about everything. What about it?
What about what?
Joining the expedition. Now, you're not going to stand by and let that Cairo Society take all the credit.
Oh, let them take the credit. We'll take the cash. What's for dessert?
Oh, Sherman.
Now, look, Grace, I'm in sweaters, not antiques. And if there's one thing I learned the hard way, it's not to play in the other fellow's backyard.
The Egyptian desert is hardly a backyard, Sherman.
Well, whatever it is. Digging in sand may be up Mr. Hammond's alley, but I never went for it, even at the beach.
Now, Sherman, you had the same attitude when Mr. Hamid wanted to buy the statuette for a measly $100,000. I wouldn't let you talk me into it then, and I'm not going to now.
Now, look, how was I to know that
you... Why, this is a chance of a lifetime, dear. You could have your picture in the papers, and we could have the kind of vacation we've always dreamed about.
Now, look, how was I to know that
you... Why, this is a chance of a lifetime, dear. You could have your picture in the papers, and we could have the kind of vacation we've always dreamed about.
Well, I admit my picture in the papers wouldn't hurt business.
Of course, darling. And listen, an atmosphere like the pyramids might inspire a brand new sweater slogan.
What? What's wrong with it? If it isn't Pomeroy, it isn't fitting.
There's nothing wrong with it, dear. I only say...
The advertising agency admitted they couldn't come up with a better one, you know.
Yes, I know, dear. I didn't mean your slogan wasn't a winner. I only meant that new surroundings like this might spark plug your whole fall campaign.
Well...
Now, you know it would. Oh, come on, Sherman. Let's have some real fun for once in our lives.
For once now, I like that.
Well, you know what I mean, dear. Nose away from the old grindstone.
Well, I could sure use a rest, I'll tell you that.
Of course you could. And you could finally wear that pith helmet you bought at Abercrombie's and those khaki shorts that they wouldn't let you wear at the country club.
Yeah, okay, I'm sold.
You mean we're going?
Yeah, sure, it's like you said. No sense letting that Cairo Society take all the credit.
Oh.
And besides, it just occurred to me. A trip like this is deductible. Uncle Sam will be paying for it. Now can I eat?
By all means, Sherman, go and eat. Eat all you want.
Back to Grave Era in just a moment. Friends, next time you chew a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, notice how cool and fresh it makes your mouth feel. That's because Wrigley's Spearmint Gum has lots of lively, refreshing flavor in every stick. The minute you sink your teeth in, that delicious, cooling flavor begins to freshen your taste and relieve that hot, dry feeling in your throat. It sweetens your breath, too. And the pleasant chewing adds enjoyment to whatever else you're doing. So chew and enjoy good-tasting Wrigley's Spearmint Gum every day, as millions do. That's Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. Act 3 of tonight's story on the FBI in Peace and War, Grave Era.
When we had received our various clay tablets from the display yards, the laboratory technicians compared them with the one used by Hamill. It was definitely established that Max Hiller had done Hamill's work. And while we were talking to Hiller, Doc Percy was talking to Hamill about setting up the final payoff.
And that's all I do, Ham? Call you at Pomeroy's during dinner?
That's all, Doc. Call me without Greek accent. Only make sure that the kid's clear that the call is from Cairo.
Cairo. I knew it. Ham, you keep making things so fancy when it could all be so simple.
Not fancy, Doc. Smooth, clever, and above all, professional.
I still like it nice and easy, like that last job.
Oh, nonsense. This is the easiest thing we'll ever pull. All it takes is a long-distance call during dinner. The society wants to maintain absolute excavation secrecy. It's better if a private individual makes out the checks. Now tell me, what's easier than that?
And after we talked to Max Hiller, Agent Reynolds and I proceeded to the Mason City Hotel where Abner Hamill was registered as Abdul Bey Hamid. He wasn't in when we arrived, but word had conveniently been left at the desk as to his whereabouts for the evening. And so we proceeded to the home of Sherman Pomeroy.
Well, now, gentlemen, I'm afraid I'm not quite with you.
Well, that's understandable enough, Mr. Pomeroy. But if you let us speak with Abner Hamill.
Hamill?
Or Hamid, if that's what he's calling himself now.
Well, I'm sorry. Like I just told you, there's no one here by that name.
There isn't.
No, sir. Looks to me like you have the wrong address. Now, maybe if you try Henry Leroy up the road a piece, you...
What is it, dear?
I'm sure I don't know, Grace. A couple of government men here looking for someone named...
Why are they looking here? Sherman, dear, the souffle is falling.
We apologize for interrupting your dinner, Mrs. Pomeroy. We wouldn't have if it wasn't important.
Important to whom? Washington is getting to be just too much. If it isn't the revenue people asking questions, it's some other branch. Honestly, I'm going to think twice before voting administration at 56.
Beg your pardon, Mr. Pomeroy.
Yes, what is it?
The telephone, sir. Cairo would like to speak with Mr. Hamid.
Who would like to speak with me?
Not you, ma'am. Cairo would like Mr. Hamid. Will he take it in the foyer or in here?
I think Mr. Hamid will take it right here.
Now, gentlemen...
Mr. Pomeroy, Hamid sold you a bill of goods when he heard FBI, didn't he?
Well, nothing of the kind. I...
He's pulled the same stunt before. What was it this time? The government heard of his discovery and wanted a cut, so just say he wasn't here.
On the contrary, gentlemen, I simply told these good people the truth.
Mr. Hamid...
It's quite all right, Mrs. Pomeroy. We might as well have this out.
You told them the truth, huh?
Certainly. Grave robbers constantly follow my trail. How am I to know who is legitimate and who is posing? You, gentlemen have credentials, I presume?
We have credentials, all right.
We also have you under arrest.
I beg your pardon.
Under arrest?
You'd better be careful of what you say, gentlemen. You are making an error.
An error that could cause serious international complications, I may add.
Oh, you think so, Mr. Pomeroy?
I do. Cairo won't take lightly to this sort of bureaucratic butting in.
That's right, they won't. I've half a mind to call them and report this outrage.
You don't have to call them. They're calling you.
What?
See, I phlegm forgot. Cairo's on the phone now, Mr. Hammond. You can talk to them right here.
Cairo? Egypt?
Cairo, Egypt. You can report this outrage while Agent Reynolds listens in the foyer, Dave.
Right, Steve.
Hello, Cairo?
Yes?
Sherman Pomeroy here. I have Mr. Hammond for you now.
Just a minute, Hammond. Where do you think you're going?
The extension's in there.
It is, and so is Agent Reynolds.
Hello. Hello?
Mr. Hamid, I think Cairo's getting impatient.
So am I, Hamill. Either you answer or I will.
Here you are, sir.
Thanks. Hello. Abdul Behamid speaking.
Hello, you phoners. This is me. So go ahead, give the spiel. I'm listening. Ham? Ham, you there?
He's here, Doc. But he won't be for long. We're about to take him to headquarters.
What's this?
Hang up, Doc. It's the cops. Hang up and beat it.
Mr. Hamid.
I'm so sorry, Mrs. Pomeroy. You had such great faith in me, but I had to warn Doc. I apologize to you, gentlemen.
Oh, fine. That's okay, Hamill. The local police have a tracer on all calls to this address.
A tracer? Well, I'm not surprised.
Come on, Hamill. We might as well get started.
One moment, gentlemen. Mrs. Pomeroy.
Yes?
It seems that my belongings and I are about to be parted presently, and I wouldn't want this to fall on evil hands. As mutual lovers of antiquities, will you care for it until my return?
What is that thing?
That thing, sir, is a diadem from the Mayan temple of Kukulkan, inscribed with treasure symbols of the high priest.
Oh.
Perhaps at a future date, Mrs. Pomeroy, you and I will be able to...
Hamill.
Yes?
You heard what Agent Reynolds said. We might as well get started.
Oh, very well, if you insist. But I still say you're making an error.
I know, a grave error. Come on, let's go. Abner B. Hamill and Doc Percy pleaded guilty to the numerous charges of fraud and threw themselves on the mercy of the court. Both received sentences of 3 to 5 years in prison. Hamill's confession implicated Max Hiller, who nevertheless convinced a jury that his part in the swindle was only incidental. Accepting the recommendation for clemency, the presiding judge put him on probation for a period of 2 years. The Lazuli statuette still stands in the cabinet of the Pomeroy home, and our books are closed on the lively scheme that wound up a grave error.
Friends, one of the reasons it's a good idea to chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum often is that it satisfies you without being rich or filling. There's lots of delicious, long-lasting flavor in a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Real taste enjoyment. And besides, you get enjoyment from the pleasant chewing. It gives you a nice little lift and helps tide you over till mealtime. Helps keep your mouth moist, your taste fresh, too. So do what millions do. Keep Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum handy and enjoy it every day. It tastes so good, lasts so long, and gives you real chewing enjoyment. In tonight's story, Paul McGrath played the part of Abner B. Hamill, and Bill Smith was Sherman Pomeroy. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Jack Anson Fink. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. And the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat that gives you real chewing enjoyment, invite you to listen to next Wednesday's story, Lucky Smith, on the FBI in Peace and War. Same time, same station.
This is the CBS Radio Network.